Good evening. We'd like to call the meeting of the Borough Assembly to order. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Bob?
Excused.
Jay?
Here.
Mark?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Donna?
Here.
Rob?
Excused.
Thomas?
Here.
Thank you. Next, we have the Voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Thanks. Next, we have the approval of minutes. September 3rd, 2024, Assembly Meeting Minutes. Could I get a motion for approval, please?
I would move to approve the September 3rd, 2024 Assembly Meeting Minutes.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Can we do a voice call? Let's do a all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have amendment and approval of meeting agenda. Are there any amendments to make on this agenda?
I would move we approve the agenda as is.
Second.
All right, it's been forwarded and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, public hearings. There are no public hearings or bid awards. Persons to be heard related to agenda. Persons wishing to share their views on any item on today's agenda may do so at this time. Is there anyone in the audience? Yes, please step forward, state your name, and remember that we do have a 5-minute limit.
You? Hi, this is Melina Marvin, and I'm here tonight as the president of Petersburg Arts Council. We've had it on our board agenda for a long time to go to the assembly and introduce ourselves to new members of the assembly. And ever since we heard that some other arts councils in Alaska do this regularly, so we felt like we were behind the times. And tonight is apropos because we have a major event happening tomorrow. Petersburg Arts Council and Mitkoff Dance Troupe are co-sponsoring one stop of a 10 Alaska City tour of a modern dance troupe from New York. And they're calling this the largest dance event in Alaska history because they're going all over the place, including Anchorage. But here in Petersburg, Mark Kubo is our presenter who organizes a lot of performances, and he meets monthly with the other arts councils and helps to put these tours together. And because we have such a strong dance community in Petersburg, we really jumped on this one, and Mark was a lead organizer for this statewide event that is historic. And we wanted to make sure that you guys understand that this is a little bit of an economic boon for Petersburg in the sense that we are writing grants. I personally wrote 2 grants to make this happen, to be able to afford this. And then, you know, we have 11 dancers staying at the hotel, buying gifts. When the director of the dance company just told me right before I came over here, Petersburg, take all my money. I want all the things. I love the stuff. So it's just neat that it's kind of a win-win for everyone. The troupe is also offering a few classes for the Mitkoff Dance Troupe, so the young dancers get a chance to work with real dancers from New York City. And so we're just really proud of how this has come together. And this is one of probably 6 or 7 events that we'll put on throughout the year, some featuring more local artists, but quite a few featuring these touring acts that we're working pretty closely with other arts councils to bring. And we're all volunteers, so all the money that we are able to raise goes straight to putting on the shows, and we really prize accessibility, and we want people to be able to afford it. So we're not charging the same price that you might pay in New York City if you were seeing the same group, you know, where it might be $50 or $75 to go to one of those nice places. For us, it's $25, $15 for kids, and we'll always make a deal, you know, if somebody doesn't have money and wants to do a work trade or something like that. So we're real proud of what we're doing, and that we want to make sure everyone knows that this show is happening tomorrow night at Wright Auditorium. It's at 7 p.m. You can buy tickets online at petersburgarts.com, which is our website. And you can also buy tickets at the door. I think there should be plenty, although we're hoping that we can sell the house out and show these dancers that Petersburg really supports the arts. And we're going to bring our families out. We're going to have a good time and just enjoy what's going to be, I think, a pretty spectacular show. I think they have at least 5 polished pieces that they'll be presenting with the cast of 8 dancers. So that should be really exciting. And then we have a bunch more shows coming up. You can see them on our website, petersburgarts.com. We're also excited. We have a big Japanese taiko drumming tour that we're organizing for the spring. That's where they have the huge drums and they dance on the stage. And we're hoping to connect them with the schools because they also do some educational work around Japanese culture and what the taiko drumming tradition means. So yeah, thanks so much for hearing us out. We just want to make sure that Petersburg understands that you can always go to our website, petersburgarts.com, and see these events. You can volunteer, you can contribute. We appreciate members, again, to like make it all happen, because we can only do so much fundraising per group, but the membership really does sustain our ability to book these out in advance and have money in our account. I think that's probably about 5 minutes worth. So thanks so much for listening, and thanks so much for serving on the assembly.
Thank you. We sure appreciate the information. Sounds like an exciting event tomorrow. Is there anyone else, or do we have anyone on Zoom?
We do not have anyone on Zoom.
Okay, thank you. How about persons to be heard unrelated to agenda? Persons with views on subjects not on today's agenda may share those views at this time. Is there anyone who'd like to speak? Also on Zoom, no one?
Still a zero.
Okay, thank you. Boards, commissions, and committee reports. We don't have any, neither do we have anything on the consent agenda. Report of other officers. We have debt authorization ballot proposition report. Utility Director Hagerman will report on the possible impacts of the water, wastewater infrastructure projects, long-term indebtedness authorization ballot proposition, which is Proposition 4, Assembly Ordinance 2024-13. Mr. Hagerman.
Excuse me, thank you. I think Debbie's got this queued up okay. And I just...
Why isn't it giving me the option to start it? There we go.
And I just want to be sure, Mayor Jensen, can you see the presentation on your screen?
You're muted, Mark. Can you see the presentation?
Yes.
All right, great.
It just came up.
Perfect, thank you. So thank you. As the agenda item says, in lead up to the fall election and the fact that Proposition number 4 is on the ballot, it's requesting authorization from the voters to incur up to $19.3 million over 6 years in support of water and wastewater projects and operations. And leading up to that, the departments wanted to get some information together on potential impacts to rates from this ballot question. We have, instead of going through a traditional route for a rate study, which normally takes months and months, the time frame for this is very short. It was total coincidence that I spoke with the city manager in Ketchikan, who is using a rate engine platform to great effect down there, and we're able to turn around some information very quickly for us. The platform is called Waterworth, and just as an introduction to that company, they are an online, basic, subscription-based rate engine platform. You pay for an annual subscription, and you're able to access their rate study platform and their staff with unlimited support for that year of subscription. We're seeing a lot of value already just from the short turnaround period leading up to this meeting. Literally, it's been about 3 weeks since we started working with them, and many thanks to Jody Tao for being able to providing the historical information up to date to Waterworth, but they did a pretty amazing job turning this data around and creating something useful for us tonight. So there are 4 departments that are using Waterworth right now. Water and Sewer, obviously, Power and Light will be using it, and Sanitation Department is also looking at it. It's a platform that we'll update every year. It'll help us with the to evaluate rates during the budget prep time, and I think it'll be very useful to the departments and the community. So next slide, please. Talk about next slide. And so I think we'll first start with just talking about the water system model, and I'll kind of go back and forth and talking about the software and the actual data that we've input. Go ahead and go, let's go to the next slide. So one of the nice things about the WaterWorth platform is that it takes a tremendous amount of data and it boils it down into very visually pleasing graphs and visuals, makes it easy to understand. The data itself, so we've got, this is, we'll talk about the water department, and we're talking about operating expenses here, all the data that we provided them, this historic data from 2022 to last year, 2024, and the budgeted amount in 2025 is represented here. And then operating expenses starting in 2026 forward are projected at a 3% inflation rate, which is pretty standard for rate studies and accounts for growing costs over time. Next slide, please. This represents current and proposed debt service of the water department. As you'll see, we've got some, this is the current debt service here. We've got, our legend is covered up down here, but this is the current debt service, and you'll see that it is falling off over time because the projects we've done in the past, water treatment plant projects, Scow Bay, those types of projects are coming to an end of their debt service repayment, and so those are falling off.
Sorry, I'm trying to move that so we can see what's under it. I'll try.
And then this represents the new debt service. So projects that are proposed to be authorized by the ballot proposition number 4. We've got a couple of larger projects pointed out here, water main replacements at $1.3 million, and this Sandy Beach water main replacement is actually quite a ways down in the future, but it is looming and needs to be done, so we threw it in there to provide more information to the public in the assembly. Next slide, please. These are the water department projects that are the goal of the debt authorization. We've got a pretty good rundown of these projects, a little more detail on our website and posted on Facebook. I won't go through every one of these projects at this point in time. We think we provided the information to the assembly last week. So hopefully you got that and were able to review it a little bit. But all these projects either are based on infrastructure that's aging out or work that is related to a new project. This Scow Bay haul out and washdown, $100,000 will extend a water main to the Scow Bay haul out area in support of that project. For those of you who don't know, I'm sure you do, the Community Development Department and PEDC have been developing that project for many years and recently got a federal grant for part of the project. They went looking to the state for loans to fill out that work for the utility portion of that project and were successful in getting on the intended use plan for the state. So the Scow Bay haul out and washdown project and there's a companion project on the wastewater side will help fill out that project and get that work done. And it is hoped that it'll be a proposal to pay the debt service from those specific loans from the state through the Economic Development Fund. So those specific projects shouldn't impact rates if that is approved by the assembly. And I did have a note down here on the Sandy Beach water main replacement. It's a large number, $3.4 million, but it won't hit until FY 2031, but it is a large project, so good information to have. Next slide, please. This graph represents the capital projects and how the amount needed to complete those projects fall over a timeline, and you'll understand that each one of these graphs will get combined together to build the picture of the financial condition of the department. Next slide, please. And here we go. This is the revenue requirement projection out to 2034, and it builds on operating expenses, current debt, new debt, and the capital funds needed to complete the projects. Next slide, please. We'll talk about revenues next, because we have to pay for this somehow. Those are just the expenses, right? So our revenues in the department are made up of water sales, other operating revenue, small amount, non-operating revenue, small portion of grants in some cases, and borrowed funds. The predominant amount of revenue is from sales. We have a little bit of grant money here that came from the Economic Development Fund to cover debt from the Scow Bay project. This is a large congressional grant for the Clearwell project at the treatment plant, water treatment plant. Most of the other funds on this list are all proposed to be borrowed and take care of those projects with money from the state revolving fund. This also includes the sale of water service, includes a 3% rate increase just for 25 and 26, because that was already pre-programmed into the ordinance from a few years ago. But as you'll see at this point, the revenue from sales just falls flat because we're not planning any rate increases with this model. This is just a, if nothing else changed, this is what it would look like. Next slide, please. And another one, please. So we're putting all these pieces together. And what we have here in the background, what Waterworth likes to call the mountains, are those are the expenses that we talked about. In the foreground, these buildings are the revenues to fund those things. You can see that the grant here brings in a lot of money to get this project done, and then the revenues, the cash falls off. These blocks that illustrate the loans will take care of the mountains behind them. That's what they're for. This also has another couple lines on it. The dotted line is the minimum cash threshold that is the budget policy of the borough. And that's the line we don't want to go below. We need this much to address any emergencies that come up. And the solid line is our cash in the department. And we have been doing pretty good in the water department. As we start doing these projects, that cash starts to deplete. And then as we do a larger project, it starts to really go down, and to the point where we don't want to see that. We don't want that cash to go below the threshold value. But not having any increases, that is what will happen. Next slide, please. And this is to take the noise out of it, and the same lines, the cash and the threshold, just to clarify that this is the trouble spot in the water department out in 2032. Can you go back just a second? Although I'll say that the top of this line are the revenues that we have set, and this is the debt service line here. So you can still see that even though the cash is okay until 2032, we're having a problem meeting our debt service, proposed debt service, if we don't do anything before then. Now please go forward. And another one. And so this is illustrating what I just said again, a little more clearly without so much noise on the graph. But so this, without any rate increases, the water department's revenues pretty much stay flat, but the expenses are going up. And operating expenses, old debt and new debt, eclipse the revenues pretty quickly. Next slide, please. And so in the water department, we have it didn't look too bad because the projects aren't tremendous. There are some important projects. They're all important projects. But the consultant threw out just a solution for consideration that I thought I would bring up here at the meeting. Next slide, please. And so basically, this is just an inflationary adjustment to add a 3% rate increase to water rates pretty much every year because of that, what we're forecasting with inflation, 3% a year through 2034 at least. And you'll see that that increases our revenues. It helps us out with operating expenses. We meet that just fine. We cover our old debt, but when we get out to pretty far in the future, we still have adjustments to make. The good news is we've got some time, quite a few years before that is an issue. This is just an illustration. It's not, this is not a rate proposal. There's a lot more work to be done, but this is a good indication that the adjustments to the water side of things are not, won't be too onerous. Next slide, please. And same picture, the financial forecast with that 3% increase, slowly rising revenues. And you can see where that cash level was down here in the previous example. Now we're sitting a lot better, and we ride it out even farther without having to make additional adjustments.
Carl, if I'm through the mayor.
And am I correct in saying this does not include any potential grants we might get in the future?
That's absolutely true. Yeah. No, this is based on the revenues that we believe that we have to access, which are the loans. Grants, although hopefully a possibility, are uncertainty, whereas the loans are more of a certain thing. Next slide, please. And so wastewater is a little bit different. We have some large projects coming up. We have a situation where our discharge permit renewal is going to force us into doing things and spending money that we really don't want to, but it is something that we'll have to do to keep the regulators happy. We have a project, the largest project on this list is a disinfection project of our effluent that goes out in Frederick Sound. That's a $10 million project. There's no other option right now on the table other than a loan to pay for that. Just the debt service on that project alone is about three times as much as the current debt services we have in the department right now. So we, as I said, are no grants available to our knowledge right now. We're hopeful. I'll look over my shoulder at the representative that maybe something will happen, but we'll keep looking for sure and try to ease that up. But the only way that we can ensure to meet the intent of that permit is to seek out loans. And we do have 5 years right now, and I'll say that the permit itself is still in draft form. And we are providing comments, public comments, back to EPA and the DEC. And we are pushing back. We're trying to get that that five-year time frame for that disinfection project pushed off to 10 years. We think that's just a much more realistic time period for a department as small as Petersburg has in order to do the studies and get the design and find the money, hopefully some grant money, to accomplish that project. So we're pushing back hard, but that's not the only expense that permit is going to apply on us. There will be additional testing throughout every year to the point where it really appears that we need one more personnel at the wastewater treatment plant, at least one more operator to help with the testing. They have other things that they're doing all the time, and the amount of testing that's being pushed upon the department is going to be a hardship for certain.
Through the mayor.
Carl, I'm just adding on, if I get any of the cities wrong, this problem about the disinfectant affects Skagway, Wrangell, Ketchikan, Anchorage.
Sitka.
I'm missing a few, I think.
Yeah.
But this is, Wrangell just got a $10 million grant, congressional earmark towards this if it goes through. And that's what will likely, as well as all these other cities. But it's a big problem in Alaska with the folks, with between EPA and DEC changing the rules on us. So it's not just Petersburg. I just wanted to.
Yeah, no, that's exactly correct. That, you know, this, we're not the only community that this is affecting, but it is very real and it is affecting us as well as the other communities.
Through the mayor, excuse me, Carl.
Yes.
Mayor Jensen.
So is this, these new regulations that are being imposed on us, is this a state thing or is this federal?
Well, that's a really good question. So the our treatment plant has a waiver, a 301H waiver, it's called, to the Clean Water Act, which allows us to put a primary treatment plant in place instead of a secondary plant, which is the standard across the nation. The reason that we're able to do that is because we discharge marine waters, and dilution is a key factor in being able to get that waiver. When we knew that we were going through the renewal process on our permit, the EPA was open to renewing the waiver. We were worried that at first they wouldn't be, but we found out that no, they don't have a problem with renewing those waivers for us and the other waivered communities in Alaska. The state of Alaska, DEC, is, however, in charge of water quality regulations, and we discharge into the state, into the waters of the state of Alaska. So they, the state, is in control of the parameters that the circumstances of our discharge, and so that control has allowed the state to require a much tighter set of criteria to our discharge, namely on fecal coliform bacteria. It basically has removed a mixing zone that we had in the past that was a 1,600 meter radius mixing zone centered on our outfall. That's not going to be in place anymore. Basically, we have a 60 foot by 200 foot mixing zone now on our outfall. Obviously, very, very much smaller than we've had in the past, and we're having to meet much tighter fecal coliform numbers at the discharge. So the only way we can do that with a primary plant, because again, we haven't removed the aspect of our waiver, our treatment waiver. The only way we can do that with a primary plant is through a disinfection process. And there are many ways to do that, but ultimately, any way you slice it, it's about a $10 million project.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was a state requirement, so I find that interesting that the federal government thinks it's okay, but the state government doesn't. So, all right, thank you, Mr. Hagerman.
Yeah, thank you. Good question. So we'll march through the wastewater model here too, and we'll talk about all the same slides on this, and I'll try to point out the differences between the water department and the wastewater department. Next slide, please. So again, we start out with operating expenses. You can see we've had a pretty steady rise the last couple of years. This jump here between 2025 and 2026 represents the possibility, or the very real possibility, of another staff member, but also testing expenses, equipment that we'll need to do that testing, supplies that we'll need, professional services for certain labs that we'll need to work with, contract with, to do what we need to do to meet that permit. And then again, going forward from 2026, it's a 3% inflation factor per year. Next slide, please. Talking about the debt service for this department. So the current debt service down here is about at the same level as the water department. And one thing I'll just mention that the scaling on these graphs are, they're not all the same. So some of these look would look very much different if they had the same scaling as the water department. But anyway, the current debt service for wastewater is about the same as the water, but we have some larger projects. Pump Station 4 is over $3 million. The Scow Bay Waterfront Project is a $3 million project. And this is the monster in the room, the $10 million disinfection project. You can see current debt service being here, and what it takes to pay those loans is pretty significant. Next slide, please. Again, a rundown of our capital projects that we hope to fund through loans or need to fund through through the loans program. Pump Station 4 actually is not part of the $19 million. That was authorized in the previous voter authorization in 2019. We're just finishing off that, getting that project done now. But the rest of these, and I'll mention the Scow Bay Waterfront Pretreatment Project. So this is related to the Scow Bay Haul Out and Washdown Project. This is the wastewater utility portion of that, which will pick up the cost of the washdown pad itself. There's a pretreatment system, a collection system, pump station, and a force main that pumps it back to Metcalf Highway. So that portion of the project is actually pretty significant, $3.2 million estimated right now. But again, if that project debt service is allowed to come from the Economic Development Fund, that won't affect wastewater rates in Petersburg. Next slide, please. So this graph is just a representation of those projects and how they hit in over time. Again, we're including the expense for that Scow Bay project in this graph, although, as I said, that hopefully that debt service comes from a different source other than wastewater rates. Next slide, please. Total revenue requirements in this graph. So again, operating expenses here, little sliver of current debt, new debt, and then capital projects. And again, I'll mention the scaling on this graph. So this is a $2 million line here. So these numbers here are not insignificant to us. They just look dwarfed because of this humongous disinfection project. Next slide. So we'll talk about revenues next. Same situation here with sale of service at the bottom here. We're hopefully anticipating some grant payments for the debt service on the Scow Bay project that's represented here. And we've got a lot of borrowed funds showing on this graph in hopes that the voters approve that. More, please. So this is, if you can remember, the water department, we were crossing this line in 2032. And the wastewater department, if we make no changes to rates, we'll get there in 2027. And we'll be negative, our cash flow will be negative in 2028, and it just gets lower. And again, this is a $2 million line. So this is a significant problem. Because of that, it is, well, the rate consultant had an easy fix for the water department. You know, well, 3% per year, you know, covers inflation and makes things look a lot better. I haven't done a whole lot of work on the wastewater department yet because, in my mind, this is, it's unrealistic, it's not sustainable, it's not possible to do that. That's completely unacceptable. To try and fix this. So And working with Chris Cotta and the department staff, we really need to dig into the expenses of the department, look at that capital improvement plan, see if there's any deferrals and those projects can happen. Honestly, a lot of them have been deferred already, so it's part of the reason we're going to the voters for this debt authority is to try and cover this. But it's not a pretty picture, and trying to fix this are going to be some large rate increases. And I don't even want to dive into what those numbers are, because hopefully, as we mentioned, we'll find a grant for this large project. The Congress seems to be listening. Ketchikan got one. I think Wrangell also received some money to handle their disinfection project. So I think that's the obvious source that we'll be looking to, trying to get some money for that. And if that looks like a positive development, then we won't need to go down the road of huge rate increases. They'll be a lot more reasonable. That being said, even quote-unquote reasonable rate increases will be significant. Just to fund that $3 million Pump Station 4 project is a fair amount of debt service. And that this line right here, this proposed debt service, is actually covering that Pump Station 4 for the most part. Last slide that I've got is just this slide showing the cash position versus the threshold that we want to maintain. And this line here going through that is in 2027. Going below our threshold in 2027 if we do nothing is not sustainable for that department. Some changes need to be made for sure. And the trick is to try and flatten this line out, and we can do that by increasing rates, cutting expenses, and deferring projects. It's just not very pretty. So it's a big problem, but we're going to be working on it and doing the best we can to try and ease that to our ratepayers. It's very difficult in a situation like we have in Petersburg. We only have so many customers, and it makes it even worse. The water department, at least, you know, they sell to the processors, and those processors use quite a bit of water. As their fortunes go up and they have more fish to process, the water department makes more revenue. On the wastewater side of things, that really doesn't come back to us, because most of that water goes over the end of the dock. You know, it's used for processing, and then it's discharged, you know, with their own permits into the Narrows. And so the wastewater department is very, the revenues are very flat, and it's very hard to engineer any revenue increases other than increasing the rate itself. So it's a difficult situation, but I think it's important that the Assembly know what we're facing, and the discharge permit, in addition to the other capital projects that we have, but that discharge permit is really going to be a large impact for ratepayers. So with that, any questions?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that boatload of information. A few questions. Any chance, with all the pushback from the different communities, that the state EPA will say, well, yeah, maybe we should just curtail this a little bit, or, you know, push it down the road another 20 years, or lessen the standards to which they're now going to require all these different communities to adhere to? What's the likelihood of that happening? I know once a regulation is in place, it's almost impossible to retract it. But what are your thoughts there? Let's go with that question first.
Sure, that's a mouthful right there. So we're using a consultant, an engineering firm out of Anchorage, to help us evaluate the technical aspects of the permit, because there are many, and they are also helping many other of these waivered plants that are going through renewals right now, and so they have already issued public comments for quite a number of the of the communities that are under the gun here. There have been small changes, but nothing significant is what we would really like to see. So the likelihood of them backing off at this point in time is very remote. It's not happening. We pushed back pretty hard as we were leading up to this process. We just didn't get really anywhere. DEC is, it was a little frustrating because, as the mayor mentioned, there was a question, okay, who's driving the bus on these changes? Is it the state or is it the federal government? State says it was EPA. EPA says, no, it's the state. And we can see, you know, clearly that it's the state receiving water regulations that are at play here. They're driving the bus on this. Unfortunately, the only funding opportunity I put in quotes for the big project is a loan. That's what they hold up, and they wouldn't guarantee anything else. No grants. A lot of the loans that we have with the state, and a lot of the loans that are the goal of the proposition number four do have principal forgiveness, which is essentially a grant, but it's not a sure thing, and we have to apply for the whole loan, and then we have to see if the department will provide some forgiveness on that principal. No guarantees with that, you know, for the large project. It's been very frustrating. The conversation that, don't you know what this is going to do to ratepayers, just hasn't gone anywhere, and it's been hard. As Steve mentioned, Anchorage is on this list, and they are not, haven't started the renewal process. EPA and DEC are saving them for last. They're handling all these smaller communities in Southeast Alaska first. The last estimate I heard for Anchorage's project was $2 billion with a B, you know, and that is just an enormous, you know, project, and that will affect every ratepayer in Anchorage. And I believe that the political pressure at that point may cause some change, but so far, the combined pressure from the smaller communities has not made any difference at all.
Most unfortunate. Member Newman.
Thank you for that great presentation. I'm just curious what the actual process is of the disinfection process. Does it include chemicals? Is there like residual that we have to ship stuff out? I mean, what do you know about that?
Yeah, there's a few different ways it can happen. The most common way is to use chlorine to kill pathogens, you know, disease-causing organisms in the wastewater. The problem with using chlorine of any kind, there are several kinds that you can use, is that chlorine itself is something that the state doesn't want in the receiving waters either. So after you chlorinate and remove the bacteria, you have to dechlorinate and remove the chlorine, which adds another step to the process and more expense, you know, both on the capital side and the operational side. There's another way, using ultraviolet light, submerged UV bulbs in the waste stream, that does disinfect, and it does a pretty good job, but it's expensive, and there's an ongoing power cost to that, which is large. So there's really in my mind, not a great solution to this. The best solution that I have is just not do it. That would be my preference, to stick with the mixing zone that we have and the limits, the discharge limits that we have, and I think we'll all be fine, but that's not the direction it's going.
We have options for the type of disinfection process, and yeah, and each has a different layer of how much it costs and the type. Thank you.
Shannon Gregor.
No questions for you, Carl, at this point. I mean, lots of them, but none that are relevant to tonight. So I just wanted to thank you and your staff for getting this information together and presenting it so that you could air it for the public, because obviously this impacts every single one of us, or will to one degree or another. I will be a bit of an optimist that as we move forward, we will find some grants to cover some of these things, and better you than me. Thanks, Carl. Sorry, I shouldn't tease with you.
Any other questions? Yes, Member Fine Walsh.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. Real quick, you know, on these proposed rate increases and all this, you know, how does population growth factor into this? I mean, would increasing the number of ratepayers, would that show a real benefit, or would that just impose more kind of infrastructure costs on the departments? You know, is there a way to kind of soften this blow by growing a little, I suppose?
Well, that would always help. Yeah, absolutely. More customers that makes it easier for lower rates to go further. Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, I haven't seen any projections, you know, that Petersburg is on the cusp of a, you know, an explosion of population, unfortunately. And if that was the case, we'd have other problems, you know, the housing issue that the Assembly's been working with for quite a while. But yeah, population growth would help the utilities as long as there are more facilities that can connect to the system.
Thanks.
Any other questions? All right, thank you for your time and putting all that together. That's quite a
thank
bit
you.
To chew on. All right, next on the agenda, we have the mayor's report. Early and absentee voting for the October 1, 2024 municipal election is available in the training room of the police department downstairs near the main entrance to the municipal building from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Early and absentee voting will end at 12 noon on Monday, September 30, 2024. Absentee voting via mail, go to the borough website at petersburgak.gov for information on requesting an absentee ballot. Petersburg Borough Municipal Election, October 1, 2024. Our local municipal election will be held on October 1, 2024 in the activity room of the community center from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. A sample ballot is attached to this report. For more information regarding this election, please contact Clerk Thompson at 907-772-5405. Or at dthompson@petersburgak.gov. With that, we'll move on to the manager's report. Manager Giesbrecht.
Thank you, ma'am. The Volunteer Fire Department will be hosting the Junior Firefighter Program again with signups starting Friday, September 27th. This program was put on hold during COVID, and we're kind of excited to get it back and running again. Applicants can call the station at 772-3355 or call Captain Bird at 907-518-4488 for more information. Applicants should bring their parents to help fill out required paperwork, and food is provided for the sign-up event. Again, that's on Friday, September 27th. Volunteer Fire Department will also be hosting an initial EMT-1 course starting in the middle half of October. Aaron is still working on the course details, which will be announced as soon as available. This is an opportunity to skip the ETT and become an EMT-1 certified right away. Please call the station if you're interested. There'll be an LEPC meeting on October 16th at the Fire Hall at 1 p.m. Public is welcome to attend. And a very large thanks due to a large donation of both equipment and labor from Gary Treffery from the Volunteer Fire Department now has an operational ham radio station for emergency use. Gary helped everybody set that up. It's to maintain proficiency with the equipment. We're also looking at using the volunteers to start working with the local ham operators and start a ham radio club in town. More information will be available in October. The mobile communication trailer has had its inverter and repeater repaired, and it's now ready for full service again. And we received a third-party report from CapMay Solutions regarding the borough's emergency plans, detailing what is missing or needs to be updated to comply with FEMA standards. We'll continue to work on that. We're seeing if Homeland Security wants to pay for it. Streets crew is making some repairs to sections of Frederick Drive from the 3 mile point out to the Cabin Creek Dam. And although you heard us talk a little bit about the street sweeper replacement, some of the prices were shocking, $465,000 for a new sweeper. That is not in our budget. I think Aaron was able to get it down to just about $400,000. That's still not within our budget. So for those folks who wanted a new sweeper and to cut down dust and such, we're probably going to have to wait a little bit longer. We'll change some assumptions in our motor pool fund. Aaron's going to keep working on seeing what we can find. But for the current time, we don't have, well, we have the money, but it would drain our motor pool fund to use it for just for this. Water plant production continues to drop off as the summer fishing season winds to a close. The crew is flushing water lines to keep water in the mains fresh. Aaron and Chris are working with Carl to get the new Enterprise Fund rate study software fully operational, which you saw tonight. You know, this will allow us to do borough personnel to do our own rate studies, basically, and actually saves us money in the long run. Part of the work to supply electrical service to the work building. Power and Light is finalizing the size of the transformer needed for the project in advance of procuring one for the project. Staff will have cleaned up and painted an inventory transformer that will be ready to install for temporary service when the project is ready for it. We're holding a work party at the Crystal Lake Dam to cut and burn brush from around the dam and helipad, remove items left over from the hydro project, and generally clean up the area. Power and Light will be upgrading downtown transformer that is feeding several buildings and is being pushed beyond its capacity. A short outage will be needed, but all affected customers will be notified ahead of time. Wastewater discharge permitting, you heard Carl talk about that. We've got the permit. Now it's a matter of analyzing it and seeing everything that we're going to have to do, and also we'll get our comments in place. Carl and I have both worked with our state lobbyist, and we'll be doing some more work with our federal lobbyist on this, trying to, this will be a project likely brought in front of the assembly to ask that it be prioritized as a top project for potential congressionally dedicated spending or earmarks. Derek and his staff are working through some of the transition issues on the time clocks at assisted living. We're going to run side-by-side payroll for probably three or four payrolls just to make sure that it doesn't have any problems and that everything works well. We're also continue to work with the hospital staff on their continued support with helping us with the assisted living billing. And the last of the busy tourship season is 9/23. Thanks for another very good year. We're still seeing some transient vessels heading south, stopping in for weather and et cetera. The harbor has a larger than average number of vessels that will want to stay in Petersburg over the winter. So staff is actively monitoring permanent stallholder schedules to sublet stalls that are typically empty during the winter months. Fleet is mostly home and drive down is busy as vessels switch out gear type. Storage at the drive down is full and long-term parking is limited. GLOW has been working with the borough attorney to prepare code changes for assembly review concerning stored vessels and resulting issues due to non-operation. I've been working with Denali to complete the additional paperwork for our Banana Point grant. That's going to go through. I've actually got the paperwork done. We should hear back from them in a week or two on the next step, which would be a document that comes to the assembly to accept the grant. Our annual financial audit is underway in finance. The auditors were here most of last week. And Petersburg walked the most miles per person this year for the Walk Southeast Fly Alaska and is bringing home the trophy. For this friendly competition between Southeast communities, the trophy will be displayed at the James A. Johnson Airport for the next year. Way to walk, hike, and run, Petersburg. The Rainforest Survival Series made its debut this month with a full turnout and demand for more. Hosted and instructed by the Petersburg Parks and Rec with support from Petersburg Search and Rescue, Bjorn Stolpe and Brett Uppenkamp, U.S. Forest Service Enforcement Officer Joe Boggs, U.S. Coast Guard Master Chief Petty Officer Kay Jones, and the Alaska State Trooper Josh Spann, with prizes donated by Hammer and Wecon. It's a very successful class with many excited students. Thank you for the community and help keep a lookout for more to come. Contact with Parks and Rec or contact Stephanie Payne for more information. That's it. As fast as I can read that.
Thank you. It's quite a bit of information there. Next, moving on to new business. Approval of election officials for the October 1, 2024 municipal election. Clerk Thompson requests the Assembly approval of the following local residents to perform the duties of election official for the Petersburg Borough Municipal Election. They are as follows: Eric Castro, Tim Chittenden, Angela Davis, Janice Kernvick, Mara Lutomsky, Melina Marvin, Patty Reed, Tina Sakamoto, Julianne Thompson, Yvonne Tinas, Marina Whitaker, and Sina Warhatch. Could I get a motion to approve these folks for election official?
So moved.
Thank you. Second? All right. Member Fine Walsh has put forward the motion. Member Newman has seconded. Any discussion? Questions? Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Motion passes. Also related to the election, 2024 Municipal Election Certification Meeting. Clerk Thompson requests the Assembly choose a date to canvass and certify the municipal election, which must take place no later than October 8, 2024. A special meeting could be set for Friday, October 4, or the canvass can take place at the beginning of the October 7 regular Assembly meeting. Is there a discussion? I guess, how do we do this? Do we do it through
a motion? Usually a motion first.
Mayor?
Yes, Mayor Jensen.
I'd make a motion that we have a special meeting on Friday, October 4th, to canvass the 2024 election.
Is there a second?
It generally takes very little time.
Second.
All right. Mayor Jensen has put forward the motion, and Member Fine Walsh has seconded it. Any discussion? Member Stan Greger.
Yeah, just a time preference. Did you have a preference on time, Mayor Jensen?
No, that's I'm fine with any time. What works for everybody else, I guess.
Just for myself, I'm pretty open. I'll be traveling, so I'll be zooming in, so I'm easy. You guys can choose what time.
Works for me.
Noon?
Okay, Mayor Jensen, does noon sound okay on the 4th?
Sounds good.
All right, let's plan for a meeting. Oh, actually, yeah, see. The motion is that October 4th at noon, and the second agrees to that. You're the second. Okay. So could I get a roll call vote, please?
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, looks like we will meet October 4th at noon to canvass the elections. Next, we have communications, which we don't read, but there are some since August 29, 2024. In the packet and Assembly discussion items. Are there any Assembly member comments? Member Stanton Greg.
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to encourage everyone to vote in our local election. Voting early. Clerk Thompson is 11 to 3 downstairs here, correct?
Correct.
Until what day?
Until the day before the election, Monday, September 30th, when it will end at noon.
Excellent. I highly encourage everyone, one, to vote. Two, to vote early and to make a plan to either go with friends to the polls, go before work, on your lunch break. I will get my one Captain Obvious in for the evening. Every vote does count, as our community experienced last year with a one-vote election, which means that person who is maybe feeling extra tired after work and decides not to skip or decides not to vote, that could impact an election. Maybe your child gets sick and you can't make it. Make a plan. Vote early if you can also, and I'd like to see a record turnout for our community this year. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I have a comment.
Yes,
Mayor Marsh. Back to the presentation from Carl, the state DEC imposing these stricter regulations on us. We met a few years ago with Randy Bates at the time, I think was in the state charge of the DEC, and we talked to him, and it obviously didn't do any good, but maybe Anchorage, the community of Anchorage with the biggest population in Alaska, when they realize the impact it's going to have on their rates with the $2 billion project, maybe if we've got them complaining a little bit, you know, maybe it'd help. And I don't know what they've done opposing this regulation, but you look at what the rates are going to do. We don't know the numbers, but it looks like it's going to be significant. Just a thought. Maybe it's something we could do at Alaska Municipal League in December.
Okay. Thank you for that, Mayor Jensen. I would like to recognize Gary Treffery and thank him for his generous donation to the ham radio station. That's pretty impressive. I know ham radio was a unique language of its own, and for those who master it, it's pretty incredible. But I'd like to thank Gary for that. Hearing no more comments or recognitions, make a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.